Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. I would like to apologize that I am not a native speaker. I hope that my poor, bad English will not harm your ears, but that you will understand what my message is. So the title of this presentation is The Prophecy of America, Where is She in the Inevitable Cycle of Socialism? Message of this presentation is that some natural tendencies of social systems, I understand social systems as a systems composed of living objects, that the tendencies of social systems are mercilessly inevitable, and if we are prepared now to change them. What does it mean, natural tendency? I think that in any social human system, there is natural tendency towards socialism. I will explain it a little bit later. My agenda. I will introduce myself. I will say about my expectation of, after the collapse of the Soviet Union and Polish People's Republic. I will tell a little more about the physics of life. And I will present very interesting experiment of John Calhoun, your compatriot. Later, I will tell about social cycles. I will tell about the rise of Big Brother by Anatoly Fedosyev. And we will probably discuss if we can change the inevitable sink of American society towards socialism. I was born in 1955. All my life, I remember when I was 3 years old, I asked myself always, why the things happened like this, or how? And nobody gave me a logical and consistent answers. My pen name is Frislow. So the main part of this pen name is free. I am a freedom fighter. I am a typical libertarian. I am a strong supporter of individual liberty, free markets, and limited accountable governments. I used to be a scientist, and I work as a biocybernetician. But this job in Poland during the communism were so badly paid that I switched just after the break of socialism, I switched to the private business. And this business, working with the people, I learned a lot. It's a very good, excellent school about psychology and different things. I climbed in mountains for 20 years. This is Petite Dru in French Alps, my best performance. So, and the name of my ascent was named Direct American. So American and French. I am passionate about the sport, I am passionate about science, and I am a lecturer in PAFERE. It's a Polish-American Foundation for Economical Development and something else. And ASBIRO, Academy of Business and Self-Development. As well, I support very much ICL, International Society for Individual Liberty, the president of which is Ken Skuland. Let me now introduce my country. Poland used to be the United States. In 16th century, Poland and Lithuania were united. Now the territory of Poland is like this, and we were, let's say, four or five times bigger. So this is all the maps from the 16th century. We ceased to exist as a country in 18th century. We disappeared as a country. We came back to existence in 1914. We lost our independence in 1939. We were obliged to start the socialist experiment in 1945. Socialism brought us to economical misery. Really misery, you will see in a moment. In 1981, the martial law was introduced. In 1989, Poland broke the chains of socialism. But the free market economy lasted only 10 years. The collapse of Poland. So I was about 20 years old, and I saw the scenes like this. I participated in strikes of students in Polish Technical University, and I used to go to the shops. These are shops. if you were before in the presentation, so this is typical socialist shop. There is nothing inside. Naked hooks and naked shelves. Sometimes they throw some meat and you can get it, okay? This is a typical propaganda. Even the journalists were obliged to wake the military uniform. And okay, they said that the communists are trying to do their best to develop our country, but reality was completely different. Since the breakdown of communism, so it's since 1991, Polish GDP is rising. So this is a chart of this. And within 10 years, cars and dishwashers cease to be luxury goods. So I used to climb before the breakdown of socialism in 1980s in France. And I remember that French people asked me, so dishwasher is a luxury in Poland? Yes, I said, I have no idea what does it mean, dishwasher. Also, I lived as a child in the Soviet Union. So I have a lot of experience. And I eyewitnesses both the collapse of socialism in Poland and the collapse in the Soviet Union. And now, what is I would like to share this this thought with you. I was 20 years old, and me and my fellows, we didn't believe, we didn't even let such an idea let enter our head that eternal and in Soviet Union can break down. It will last forever. We will live in misery, but it's impossible. It is so strong, and the communists are so strong that it will never break down. However, it broke. So my expectation, because I saw the two breakdowns of two social systems as a young guy, and I started to ask myself, why do the intelligent ancient Greeks no longer prosper? Why did the well-organized Rome collapse? So now, and I thought that now, after the breakdown of the Polish People's Republic and the collapse of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, I thought that the unchained scientist and the brand new government elected by and devoted to the people and all the media, finally uncensored, will quickly and logically explain why it happened. And that it will be taught in schools to prevent next collapses. But nothing like this happened. And 10 years after Poland rejected socialism, our, in brackets, our government started to commit the same series of errors that the overthrown socialists already did. And when I am here in America, you talk about the same things. What kind of errors? So these guys are state employees. This is a period just after the breaking of socialism. They were 160,000 of state employees. Now, it's not now, now we are here. So I think that it tripled. During 20 years, it tripled. It's enormous. So my expectations, I went on asking my questions. And these guys gave me pieces of answers. You can see here Ludwig von Mises, Richard Dawkins, Janusz Korwin-Mikke. It's a really strong libertarian. He didn't change his ideology since ever. He was young, he was libertarian. Now he's libertarian. He's 72 years old. Edward Osborne Wilson, Marx Clausen, Darwin, Jesus. It may be considered as a stupidity because I compare Darwin and Jesus and the other, but they influenced my thought. Suvorov, it's a Russian guy who is writing a lot of excellent work about communist and Soviet Union. Mr. Skuland, he was a detonator of my thinking. Okay, you came to Poland and you said they print money, and I thought, oh Jesus, he said like this. Okay, everybody is saying that the government is pushing economy forward and they fight for development of Poland, And the guy here is telling the truth in the very simple words. They are printing money, that's all. And it was logical and consistent. And of course, Ayn Rand, who divided the society into atlases, the producers, and moochers, takers. So the production is very important in my philosophy. So I fitted all these pieces of information which I get from the libertarians and arrive to the physics of life. Because my education, I was educated as a technician, as a scientist, my main topic was applied physics. I created something like the origin of species, but I developed this. I added the Richard Dawkins thoughts and get the physics of life. It's a consistent and logical science-devoted life. It's a theory of everything concerned life. On my website you can find how the life emerged from the chemical particles, not from the cells, but from the very, very beginning. And here, it's not a Mr. Dawkins, it's Isaac Newton. Why? Because even if the physics of life, I have formulated three laws of life. Isaac Newton formulated three laws of motion, and this is the basis of mechanics, and because of this we are flying, we are driving cars and so on, and I have formulated three laws of life. So now let's switch to physics of life, America and Big Brother. I like garden, my wife as well. And we planted 2 years ago a maple. Am I right? It's a kind of tree. This tree was planted in a bad condition, in the bad ground, in the bad situation. And this plant was planted in a very good position. And what I saw, that in poor conditions, plants and generally living objects invest in offspring. This tree is already dead. It doesn't exist. And in good conditions, plants, living objects, invest in themselves. Okay, so there is some relation. There is some conditions and there is some result. And it concerns not only maples, but green flies. And even Polish society after the Second World War, there was a baby boom just after the war. It was very bad condition. You can see on the first page, I was really unaware. Okay. So now the key point of my presentation is the experiment of John Calhoun. What he did, he introduced the mouse to the special home and provided the mouse any kind of food, any kind of water and nesting material. They were no predators, and also he protected them with a healthcare, some kind of healthcare. The only adversity was the limit on space, the size of which was predicted to host 3,840 mice, about 400 mice. And what happened? So this is the period A. There is four males and four females. So the number of mice rests stable. And the first offspring appeared in this period 100 days after the colonization, and we saw the dynamic rise of number of mice. I will explain in details. But later, this velocity of multiplication really slowed down. And later, in the last phase, you see the number of mice went down completely to the total self-extinction. So this society disappeared. They have everything. They have nesting material, water, food, and so on, and they are extinct. Why? And how it happened? And if you can see, the maximum of mice was about 2,000. And the space were predicted for 4,000, so they even didn't reach the overpopulation. Okay, so to emphasize, no shortage of food, water, and nesting material, no predators, limited opportunities for transmissible disease, the only adversity is space limitation. Social adjustment. It's a phase A inside of this first phase. John Calhoun named this phase social adjustment or strife period. Considerable social turmoil among the eight mice until they became adjusted to each other and their expanded surroundings. Territories were established and nests were made. On day 104, first litters were born. So it was the first period, fighting period. Phase B inside, it's a rapid growth. John Calhoun named it exploit period. Population doubling time was about 55 days. Social organized established. Frequency of litters proportional to social dominance. The births tend to be concentrated in some sets of nest box according to dominant males, while other males, non-dominant, withdraw. At the end of this phase, there were three times as many socially immature mice as they were socially established older ones. So in this phase B, exploit period, we observe the dynamic rise of mice, but also they withdraw with contact with each other. Phase three, stagnation. Population doubling time was about 140 days. The male ability to defend territory declines. The nursing females became aggressive, essentially taking over the role of territorial males. This aggression was transferred to their own young, who were attacked, wounded, and forced to leave home several days before normal weaning. Homosexual behavior appears. It's so difficult to read that I will give it up. The peak population was 2,200 mice, yet 20% of all nest sites were usually unoccupied. So there is no question of overpopulation. Because the mice are, they no need any effort to get food, they became unsocial. They no need help of other mice. They cease to multiply, and the phase, the last phase, it's a death, the death phase, the die period. The population increase abruptly ceased on day 560. Incidence of pregnancies declined very rapidly, with no young surviving. The last conception took place about day 920. And what is really interesting that all the newborn mice appeared as a beautiful exhibit of the species with keen, alert eyes and a health, well-kept body. These mice, however, could not cope with unusual stimuli. Though they looked inquisitive, they were, in fact, very stupid. So I like this sentence, in fact, very stupid. They looked very nice and they were very stupid and they didn't multiply. They didn't involve themselves to have next generation. Okay, so we forget about mice and now we talk about people, because you can ask, okay, what is the relation about experiment with mice and what does it matter to the man? We are intelligent and so on and so on. But if you go to Australia and you will talk with Australian about aborigines, which get money, food, alcohol and water, and you will see the degradation of aborigines. They are becoming quickly dead because they do not fight for food. So they lose their natural intelligence. Okay, so there is, however, some similarities. Now, Mr. Tytler, it was Scottish philosopher in 18th century, who is credited with the following statement. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, this nation always proceeded through the following sequence, from bondages to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. Okay, maybe he was right, maybe no, I think there is something, okay? We can see, but he wasn't only one. He was Scottish, but there is another British, Sir John Glubb. And he said that life cycle of an empire lasts about 250 years. And the stages of the rise and fall of great nations are as follows. The age of pioneers, the age of conquest, the age of commerce, the age of affluence, the age of intellect, and finally the age of decadence, which is finished by another nation who comes and strikes weak empire with a coup de grâce. Coup de grâce in French, it means you kill the so badly wounded person that he sees through to cierpieć, to feel pain, okay? It's a coup de grâce. Yes, okay, so thank you very much. So according to this, according to Sir Glubb theory, American empire has 11, 19 years remaining. Okay. And now, the third cycle. So a couple years ago, I was struck by the book of Mr. Anatoly Fedosyev. He was a Russian, very high technician in the Soviet Union. And he escaped to Paris in his 60s. Imagine, you are 60 years old and you quit your own country because you are fed up with the regime and you start brand new life. In very small book titled Trapdoor, The Man and Socialism, he described his ordinary conditions in the first part. In the second part, he gave the general view, general table of the development of socialism, how it develops. So I have prepared here several copies of his work because it's there is no time to tell it in details. So if you are interested, please hand to the people. And it is available in the internet under address tnij.org/FIEDO. Okay, so in this paper there is details and here is general overview. So Mr. Fedosyev said that we have several stages. We start with the stage of seizing power. After, we have consolidation of the power. Later we have period of collapse, period of discontent, and period of decomposition of the social system. And you can see the curves here. So that the cruelty of secret police in the first stages, they are very cruel, but later it's go down. Later in the stage of decomposition, it rises. Here is a curve of productivity, very important thing. Here in America, you are talking about working place, but it doesn't mean the working place, it means nothing. The productivity is the most important. In socialism, everybody had working place, but the productivity was none. So we cannot buy anything. Because of this, you have seen the empty shops I have shown you. So productivity is rising in the consolidation period, and after it's going down, 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 till empty shelves completely. In the face of the decomposition, there is really nothing to buy. There is the money has no value. I said that in Poland in 1987 we paid with eggs because money has no value. So we exchange with eggs. You know, we came to such exchange. And now here the third curve. It's a number of secret police officers devoted to the regime. So in the first stage, there is not a lot of secret police officers, but it's a very good job. You are not responsible, you have power, you have killed even the people, and you get some money. So there is a lot of people who want to be secret police officers. But in the stage of collapse and discontent, the number of secret police devoted to the regime, because they are still secret police officers, but they try, they switch their minds, they try to think, okay, it doesn't work, there is something wrong here, okay? So there is a split between fundamentalists and just thinking secret of police officers. Okay, now natural development of Big Brother. Freedom starts by respecting rights of others. James Madison formulated some idea which I named James Madison Dilemma. When creating a government that gives one the power over another, there are two main problems. What kind of power and how much the government should have to be able to fairly run and control the society? And the second problem, what kind of power and how much for the society to have a means to control over those in power, to stop them abusing their position? Because people in power naturally abuse their position. Who inflated the money? The ancient Romans. In Poland, Nicholas Copernicus has written the treatise of money. You know, in Poland we name the law of Copernicus, you name this law of Gresham. Yes, it's a law of Gresham. Okay, so every people in power, they abuse this power. So this is the main thought of James Madison Dilemma. A core aspect of power in any form is to limit the means of control that the population has over them. And this is achieved by force, propaganda and media dependent on state, educational system dependent on state, gathering of all information about the citizens, building up a network of informants, and figure out that in Eastern Germany, they were 8% of people as informal informants. So now imagine, we don't count the young kids and very old people. Every second person reported to the regime. It was incredible, completely. In Poland was quite the same. Building up a network of informants and introducing a state of internal and external fear. I remember in the Soviet Union and in Poland, these bloody Germans, they threaten us with their tanks. These bloody Americans, they want to ruin our economy. We are working hard, we are so smart, but because of them, there is misery in our country, okay? So it's, of course, one of the means of being in power, okay? There is threat from outside or inside. So these actions of the people of power violates the first rule of freedom. As I said, freedom starts by respecting the rights of others and leads to non-productivity and finally to economic collapse. So as you can see, maybe you already see this in the United States, that you are become less productive. I don't know, but in Poland, really, I worked in the scientific institute and my boss didn't realize that I was absent for 4 months. He just didn't know, okay? Okay, he was not absent. We worked from 2 weeks, we have written the reports, what he discovered. Later we spent making climbing, doing shopping, and as you said before, and making a lot of things, till the next period of reporting appeared. We worked for two weeks, we gave the reports. And what did the CEO of our institute? He was aware that we are doing nothing. But what he can do? He cannot force us to work, okay? He said, look, I have plenty of very good scientific papers. You have to you have to give us money. Okay, so the government gave the money to our institute and we were completely unproductive. And all the economy in Poland and in the Soviet Union. Okay, so we said that the people in power gather all the information about the society to control. So George Orwell, my favorite journalist. I would like say that it's every journalist should be as George Orwell, so objective and recognize his own errors and write very objectively and so on and so on. So he predicted what? Closed circuit television. I was told a couple presentation ago that in the UK there is so much cameras that they take second place of cameras per capita. The first place is North Korea, okay? And there are some systems who recognize the face, so they can follow you where you are going. The position, they pick up position of our cell phones, tablets, computers. The GPS system will soon be attached to our cars. The medical criminal files are stored on database. And the first, if you are ill, the first guy who knows that you are ill is your doctor. The second guy is Google. Because you go home, and what are you looking for? You are searching information. And Google records all of this, and he knows. Okay, you are ill. You have syphilis. You have had a heart attack, and so on and so on. So all kind of information are available, and they can know where we are, what we are thinking and talking. What we buy, our social circle by Facebook, and even if they want, they can know our intentions. Okay, it's easy to understand. If I am doing this and this, if I am booking the ticket to Las Vegas and I was signed up to Freedom Fest, okay, so he will go there within 3 months. It's my intention. I would like to go there, and they know before. This data can be, and we can see in Poland that it is used already against us, against any of us, at any time. Political decisions are made using this data. It was presented in Freedom Fest last year. So there were a presentation how your president, Mr. Obama, is taking decisions. He's making the polls during the night, and he gets the right answer. Who will please? And this data is used to manipulate our opinions. Can we change these natural tendencies? So I think, this is my message. You are going down, you are just going to the full socialism, and you will follow all the cycle of this socialism. Maybe not in the very same way that it happened in Poland or in the Soviet Union, because culture of Anglo-Saxon is a little bit different than culture of Russians and little bit different than Poles. But I think that, however, you will follow. Yeah, and it will be very bad for our whole globe, okay, for our whole Earth. Why I don't think so, that we cannot change these tendencies? Because people are bred to follow. Because the vast majority of us are not aware of John Calhoun's experiment, Ron Jones' third wave experiment. Have you heard about this? It was an experiment made by your compatriot. In 1960, he transformed a group of youngsters into a group of fighting fascists. Within how many days? How you think? Five. You can find it on my website, or just type in Google. But be aware, if you type in Google, Google will know that you are looking for this experiment. I was struck, you know. I am 55 years old. As I said, since ever, I asked myself why such a things happened. And only now I could see the John Calhoun's experiment. I saw this film, The Third Wave Experiment. This is the picture of this film. And I read the Fyodosyev memoirs. And for me, these three pieces of big job and great job, they opened my eyes, and I understood quite everything. Okay, so this is my message. Try to read it, try to study, and maybe try to spread this idea. I think this very little book of Mr. Fyodosyev should be translated. I know that it won't be a bestseller. Okay, but it will be the very good material to you to teach youngsters, because it's really natural. He has written about ordinary life in the Soviet Union, who has power, how the people behave, and so on. And this behavior is far worse than behavior of you, of Americans nowadays. You are very polite. You know, in Russia, the people were rude, yes? You were said it was just... you are very polite. Okay, maybe it will change. Remember, Poland was one of the biggest countries of Europe, and later we ceased to exist. So different things happened, and the processes are quite similar. They repeat. Generally speaking, the physics of life is not taught in schools yet. I hope that within 50, maybe 100 years, physics of life will be taught. But it is not taught because it's against... if we understand how the society works, we will not let the people in power to do what they do. Okay, so they are not interested in spreading this idea. We are spreading our society, our free mind society. I get some information from Ken, from Marx Kausen, and now I have developed this idea and I am spreading this idea. So maybe I put some seed to your mind and maybe you will develop some more ideas, more intelligent. Maybe you can find the way how to spread it and how to teach in a very easy way to youngsters. Okay, we are teaching. And I would like to ask you, Americans, try to do your best to stop the inevitable social cycle, because I see being here last year and this year that you undergo this cycle. This cycle is inevitable. We can talk, but there is no one who can fight, because we just we are not in the face of fighters. We are now, you are now in the face of intellectuals. You remember John Glapp cycle? You are intellectuals, and next phase, it's a phase of decadence. But if you fail, what I can advise? It's some kind of self-defense. Mr. Solzhenitsyn have written this because he was imprisoned for 20 years. You can deep enter to the science. You can study a lot of things, and this was psychiatrist Ross Ashby, the father of cybernetics. Theory of systems, Ludwig von Bertalanffy was biologist. So you don't need to know physics or mathematics, but you can just study different sciences to better understand all the processes which happened in the system composed of living objects. And if you want more about physics of life, there is a website, there is my business cards with the emails. I am open to discuss, I am open to answer the question. Maybe I will not answer immediately, but because I have to translate, I have to work with my English teacher. I am explaining him in Polish, we discuss and we make translation. It's not so easy to formulate for me some subtleties of different things, okay? So maybe my answer can be 1 week or 2 weeks, but I am open, so if you are interested, please write me an email, and emails are flying for the time being, so we can communicate. Thank you very much.
Question for you. You mentioned that maybe Anglo-Saxon culture might be a little different from Russia. One thought I had, and I wanted your take on this, is, you know, you talked about maybe America has been 200, 250 years. Well, America really came out of Britain, and we follow the same Western tradition. So wouldn't you say that maybe this society has been going on this way for 400, 500 years? And maybe things will go longer than you might expect because of that Anglo-Saxon tradition.
Yes. So you know, I said the first thing. I said that when I was 20 years old, we cannot imagine that the Soviet Union will break down. It was unimaginable. And suddenly, within 6 months, nothing. The Soviet Union does no longer exist. Okay. When I talked about other Anglo-Saxons who lives in Hawaii, that I hope that your culture, your roots of liberty, of hard work, and so on and so on, are not similar to the culture of the Soviets, of the Russian who developed the socialism, and Chinese who had very cruel communist experience. They said, hey, no, look, but in the United Kingdom, it's a socialism nowadays. Okay, I don't live in the United States. I don't live in the UK. I have visited UK maybe 3 days I spent in England. In the United States, I wouldn't come to your country because you require visa from Poles. And it's not true, it's not fair, because you can enter Poland just with nothing. I said, no, I will not go there. But it happened that you organized Freedom Fest, and I said, it's okay, it's an opportunity. I have to go here to meet the people who think like me, to share the idea. So I paid a lot of money to get this visa. And, you know, the employee of state, so the employee of American embassy, they are very polite, as every American. But when you enter the embassy, you feel the pressure of the system. Okay, you have to line, you have to sign, you have to be patient, and so on and so on. It's not nice. Okay, so I don't know. I hope, because you know, I am very scary about collapse of United States. I like this country. I saw that in Latin America, the Arab countries, they consider you as expansionist and aggressor and so on and so on. But if I compare Americans to Germans or to Soviets or to Russian, you are not aggressive because you won, you helped to win the First World War and you withdraw from Europe. You helped to win the Second World War and you withdraw. You make some order, you introduce some order to Germany. Germany starts to flourish economically. And what the Russians did, we fell into misery. Okay, so there's different experience. So I hope that your culture will help. So maybe this gathering of people will help that you will avoid finally this collapse. Okay, you are talking about this. You have some influence. You teach young people. So I hope, and I, as I said, try to do all your best.
Please, could you tell something about the fall of Roman Empire? Was it the same thing than the Russian Empire?
Generally speaking, it was quite the same. You know, so if I compare you to the cactus. You are the living object, and the cactus is the living object. You are built from cells, and cactus is built from cells. Inside your cell, there is mitochondria, quite the same as mitochondria in cactus. So the fall of Roman Empire, and the fall of Soviet Union, and the fall of Ottoman Empire, I advise you to read the paper of Sir John Glubb. It's, you know, it's 16 pages, very condensed information, very nice, very finely written. And he said, all the scenario of collapses was the same. It was phase of this, of decomposition, of cruelty, and fall, economical fall. Okay, so this is a collapse. This is the root of all collapses. The society becomes less productive. I live in a hotel here in Las Vegas. Here I see you are people who move, you move without problem, you walk. But I saw a lot of Americans who merely walk. Okay? And I cannot imagine what they do for living, how they live, who pays them and what kind of work they can do. Because they seem to suffer a lot. Okay? And so this is a problem. And physics of life, the basic, one of the basic concepts of physics of life is its resources and productivity. The penguin can eat, can survive 4 months without eating. And later he managed to find some food in his stomach to give to his baby. 4 months. Now imagine yourself that you are not eating for, let's say, 4 weeks. Impossible. Okay, so this is productivity. This is effectiveness of the living objects. So the fall of Roman Empire, it was presented perfectly by Marx Kausen last year in Freedom Fest. It was the same, you know, they inflated money. American government inflate the money. Polish government inflate the money. And this is one of sign of inevitable economical collapse. And you know your own country, France. It was a big power. All the Europe talked not in English. English wasn't you know international language. We had Latin at the very beginning of in the medieval ages, and later it was French. Now who speaks French? Me and he, because he is a French, and I was educated in France.
Merci.
I have a question for the crowd and then for you. I neglected to leave one of the handouts for myself, so if there's anybody who doesn't want their handout, I'd love to get it. Are these books available in English?
No, so I am, you know, it's a very difficult... Have you read book of Richard Dawkins, The Selfish Gene?
No.
Okay, so try to do this. It's a book rather complicated. My book is also complicated because I touch a lot of difficult issues. However, I have a lot of translation because I have my own personal teacher who comes to me once a week, and we translate this book for 1 or 2 hours. So a lot of things is already translated. If you are interested in some topics, because the index is already translated, just ask and I will translate specially to you, okay, and we'll send it. And maybe within 10 years it will be finally translated. Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.